The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Christians, who are we? What are they? What a privilege to stand here and to speak for Jesus this morning. Some of the songs we just sang, I trust our minds were engaged in such a way that we personalized those words and thought about our own lives and where we're at with reference to it. It's more than just the head is needed to know the facts and to do what we're told. But that will of ours, we hold on to it so much rather than to break my will. May I yield it to you and do what you call me. That's Christianity. And the gratitude that the choir sang about that was just referred to here. Gratitude when things go rotten from a human perspective. From our dreams. That's faith and trust. God, I don't see it. I can't see it. It hurts. But you're God and I am not. And you know what's best. Help me to accept and to be thankful. The old song, count your blessings and see what God not only has done, but what he's doing in the present as we allow him to. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a precious reality. So let's go to two simple verses in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 11. And two simple applications at the end. But it truly takes everything that you have to put it into practice. Let's pray. Once again, we sang, now we talk or we pray and say, "Speak, O Lord." You've promised your word never returns empty. You've got something here in these simple verses for each of us. And yes, those verses that came before are not quite so simple. But help us to understand who you are, who we are, what you're saying to us, and how we need to respond. Lord, may you be glorified through the preaching of your word. And the response of those who are yours here this morning. Once again, for any who are not yours, not born again, why not today, Lord? Why not a celebration today as hearts are yielded completely to you, to the glory of you? And this I pray in Jesus, the sweet, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The demon is gone. The demon was cast out by Jesus. How do we know? The man who Luke tells us was mute, he couldn't speak. As we saw, Matthew and Mark also refer to this same incident. And I want to say it was Matthew who tells us that he was also blind. The man now speaks, and he could see. The demon was gone. Jesus followed up by speaking. He spoke in response to the various opinions of the spectators, those who were there and how they saw what happened. And you were here, most of you were here last week. We looked at five lessons that Jesus gave us as we looked at the text. Remember? Lesson number one, God is able to read your mind. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Jesus knew. He knows what you're thinking even now. Always. He knows. Can't hide anything from God. He is God. You must never forget that. Lesson number two, a kingdom divided falls. And we examined Jesus as he shared. Hey, you say I cast out the demon by the power of Beelzebul? That is Lucifer, the devil. Excuse me. No, listen, excuse me. That doesn't make sense. Because if Satan casts out his own demons, he's working against himself. Doesn't make sense. No, that is not where the power came from. As a matter of fact, some of your sons or descendants, not necessarily biological sons, but other Jews, there were exorcists there as well. How effective they were, we don't know. But in any case, if you say that I did it, then you're saying the same thing about your own people. No. A kingdom divided falls. And we looked at that. That holds for a church divided, it will split. That holds for a marriage divided, it will split. That holds for a life in turmoil, it won't make it. Lesson number 3, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ has already come. Jesus said, if I can cast out, then you know the power, the stronger of the strong men. The strong man in our text here earlier in Luke was Satan himself. But the stronger one comes and casts out the strong man. And Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It's not equal power, Satan against the devil. God, Satan against the devil. Satan and the devil are one and the same. It's not God against Satan or the devil. Excuse me. Caught myself. But God has allowed Satan right now. He's called the prince of this world. And so we talked about demons last week. And we talked about if you're a born-again believer, they cannot live inside of you. They cannot indwell you. There's no room because to be a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit within. There's no room. But they can oppress you. And sadly, they use Christians who are not walking as they should often to do their duty. And they do harm to the cause of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of Jesus. I remind you, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he is our Savior, he lives within. And if he is Lord, well, you've heard the old adage, and it's so true. He's Lord of all of you, or he is not Lord at all. Lord of all. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? Come on, get with it. If I am Lord, then do as Abraham did. That must have been something. The son, Isaac, 16, 17 apparently, commentators vary. He wasn't a little two-year-old. Boom, tie you on the altar. He allowed his dad to put him there. He allowed his dad, he didn't fight. Dad, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? No, he allowed it. And Abraham. And if you recall when the text was read here from Genesis, hey, you two young guys who are with me, my servants, you stay here and wait until who returns? We. Isaac's coming back with me. The only way that could have happened is if he had killed him. Abraham must have believed that God was going to raise him up from the dead. He's capable of doing that. Excuse me. The kingdom of God has come. Lesson number 4. There is a clear division between those who are Jesus' disciples. Jim. Between those who are Jesus' disciples and those who are not. There's a clear division between. If you're born again, live like it. Me and each one who professes to be born again. There's a clear division. It has to show. It has to show who I'm living for and why I'm alive. I'm living here, yes, for a wife, 5 kids, 20 grandkids. A job. I'm a pastor. Job. No. It's for Jesus. In whatever capacity has you or me or whoever. In whatever capacity. Yes, there's a clear division between those who are Jesus' disciples and those who are not. And then the last lesson we saw, there's a real danger in walking away from God and just trying to make yourself better. Clean up your mouth. It's not filthy anymore. Clean up your thoughts. Don't watch this. Don't take this. Don't. If that's all you're doing, watch out. Watch out. You must be born again. There must be the Spirit of God who comes within and takes over our lives. So Jesus has spoken. And it is while Jesus was speaking this way, that a woman cries out with a raised voice, "Jesus, you're so wonderful. The miracle we just saw. Wow." And then listening to your teaching, these five lessons that I've picked out. But listening to the teaching and seeing the miracle, "Jesus, wow. Wow, it must have been something to be your mother." That was typical Jewish phrasing in its day to say that. In so saying, she was not only glorifying the mother and the wondrous privilege of being the mother of Jesus, but also lifting up Jesus. That was typical. What was not typical was for a woman in mixed company to shout out and raise her voice. Perhaps, some commentators would tell us, she was trying to ease the tension. I mean, Jesus, those five lessons I shared, those are pretty strong words. And whoa, what's going on underneath here? Remember, there are scribes and Pharisees there who think they're right with God. And Jesus was pointing out, no, you're not. So perhaps to ease the tension, let's break the tension and ease things up and just, hey, let's focus on Mary for a moment and you, Jesus, because you are wonderful. She's apparently very sincere and excited. Edwards, in his commentary, shares, "Such blessings as the woman gave were not employed primarily to eulogize mothers, but to pay tribute to exceptionally worthy individuals born of them." But it was not normal for a woman to cry out in a mixed congregation like that. What she has done, though, has allowed us this morning to talk about Mary, in a sense, the mother of Jesus. As Protestants, and I hate that term, I am anti-Protestant as much as I am anti-Roman Catholic. I hate the term. But as Protestants, we have not given Mary the place she deserves, rightly. And yet Roman Catholics, who I quote from their writings, who venerate, deeply honor, and respect the Blessed Virgin, and it involves seeking her intercession for prayers, which I believe is wrong, biblically. So I want us to take a closer look at Mary, and then I want us to see that there's something far more. Just 2 points. The greatness of Mary. She was a devout teenager. How old was she? We don't know. We don't have her birth certificate. The Bible doesn't say she was this. Probably somewhere between 13 and 16. They matured earlier back then and were able, young girls, to give birth. Although a 13-year-old giving birth today is not a miracle. It happens too often wrongly and too soon. So she's a teenager, 13 to 16. I believe she's a virgin. It's interesting, statistics tell us about virgins today. Kids graduating from high school, it's lowering. Maybe 40 to 50% graduating from high school today, we're told, are virgins. Was Mary a virgin? In 2001, there was a survey of 7,441 Protestant clergy. 60% of the Methodist clergy did not believe in a virgin birth. 49% of Presbyterians did not. 44% of Episcopalians did not. 34% of the American Baptists, which is the liberal Baptist denomination, did not. Where do we get virgin from? Back in Isaiah chapter 7, long before Jesus was around, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 was seen by Jews and Jewish scholars to be referring to the Messiah to come. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign," Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." The Hebrew word there for virgin, it's my brother-in-law's mother, Alma, and Alma who attends here Sunday nights often. Alma. But the word Alma doesn't only mean virgin. It can be a young maiden. As such, a young lady. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses the word Parthenon. And Parthenon leaves no doubt. Parthenon has one meaning, virgin. It was understood that way as God directed the writing of Scripture. I believe the Bible is clear where it shares that Joseph had no relations with Mary until later. And I believe she had a very normal married life after the birth of Jesus, etc. I believe two of the books in the New Testament were written by half-brothers of Jesus, sons of Mary and Joseph. Mary, though, is with child. 13, 14, 15, 16, we don't know. She's a young girl with child with an ever-growing stigma, larger and larger, 9 months until she gave birth. A stigma because, well, there were cries later on among the Jews. Hey, Jesus, at least we weren't born out of fornication as you were. Yeah. She was a devout teenager. She had a godly man. Matthew 1:19, as we read about Joseph, the man. Matthew 1:19, I read as follows. And Joseph, her husband. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Not a sinless man, but a righteous man. And not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. He could have denounced her publicly and she probably would have been stoned. And yes, God intervened by giving him a message. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Your wife is pure, but she is with child, miraculously by the Holy Spirit. The marriage was probably, and possibly, we don't know, arranged by parents. He is older, stable, faithful Joseph with teenage Mary. Vows would have been exchanged in front of witnesses. That's what allowed them to travel together to Bethlehem. Vows would have exchanged in front of witnesses, awaiting a final wedding banquet and consummation of the marriage. But the vows would have been made, and to divorce then would have been totally wrong. You don't just break that type of an engagement, as often happens in our culture here in the West, at least. As I thought of it, God's provision, but Mary there with Joseph. How important to have a godly mate become your spouse. The scriptures, I believe, are clear. What does darkness have with light? What does a believer have with an unbeliever? And I shared before the dangers of dating. We're just friends. Watch out. I've seen too many. Hormones are more powerful than we realize, and they get out of control very easily. And you get satisfied with less and less. I told you about my experience with this old lady in the front, this older lady in the front. She hates when I say old. I know I'm old. She says she's not old, she's just older. She is 3 years younger than I. But I've told you the first time my hand touched, there were sparks. I didn't see them, but I sure could feel them. Flying. After a while, I got used to holding her hand. And the natural craving that God ordained and put into men and women is you want more and more and more and more. How important. She had a godly man. She herself was virtuous and godly. She was privileged to house in her womb, the incarnate Christ. It was the long-expected hope of young Jewish girls. The Messiah is coming. It's throughout the Old Testament. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Could I be the one? Would be the thought and the dream and the plan of young girls, Jewish girls. All of the percentages of all the young Jewish girls that existed, Mary became the one. Mary was chosen by God. Now, hold that here and over here. In parenthesis, everyone who is born again, chosen by God, he had a plan for Mary, he has a plan for you, he has a plan for me, he has a plan for each one of us. I firmly believe that. He wants our lives for a purpose. Not just as a trophy. Well, I saved that one and I saved that one. Now you can go to heaven. But our purposes in living here are to find out as we follow obediently God's will. It was never, oh, it would have been so much easier for me. Now you're going to be a pastor. No, I was going to be a businessman, remember. And my schooling. And then God worked within my bones. Okay, missionary or pastor, which is it? Write it on the wall for me, God. No, he didn't. Am I going to be in Norway or America? I was called to be a pastor in Norway when I went to school over there. I could have come as a national, not as an American missionary. Norwegians think they're Christian. 82% still say Christian. Less than 2, 3% go to church on a Sunday. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but those who are born again need to be, are commanded to be in a church. God has a plan, and by faith we step out and we move in different directions. So we started in New Hampshire, then it was Jersey, then it was down here. Was it a mistake coming down here? I don't think so, but it was painful coming down here. Then all of a sudden Cornerstone Bible Church began. And we've been here longer than anywhere else. God, you know. But he blesses. And when we're sure we've messed up, what do? Oh, that's right. 1 John 1:9. And believe it. Lord, I made a mistake. Forgive me. I don't believe I did in that. I have in other areas. But not in that. I believe it was a lesson for me. It was a lesson for that other church. But again, God, what are you trying to teach us and show us? And when I confess my sin, he says he's faithful to forgive me. And if I'm forgiven, I'm not to keep drudging it up again. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. So I move forward. Mary was chosen. A unique blessing. Only one could house the enfleshment of Jesus Christ, the eternal God. So she was blessed. The outspoken woman, she was right. She was right in that you were blessed. But you were Jewish. As a descendant of Abraham, that's a blessing in itself. And I've got 26% Jewish blood in me. And I think of that often. I'm blessed. But wrongfully, and most of you are familiar with the Jewish culture back then. John's Gospel, chapter 8. I pick up at verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants." The rulers are arguing with Jesus. "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved." Never yet been enslaved to anyone? I thought 400 years or so, you were enslaved to Egypt? As Jews, Abraham's descendants? I thought you were enslaved by the Assyrians, 10 northern tribes. I thought you were enslaved by the Babylonians, the two southern tribes. Politically, biblically, they carried you away and you were enslaved. But in their arrogance, you've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." How many of us are still in the bondage of sin that controls us? Habits, sinful habits, addictions, whatever, to whatever. The slave does not remain in the house forever. I'm reading in John 8, this is 35. The son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. The Son makes us free when he comes within, when we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. The body of Jesus cannot get inside my body. But in the mystery of the three-in-one God that he is, he's there too. So I don't have a problem with the little prayer as a boy. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And the three-in-one God came within. But Jesus incarnate, enfleshed, in bodily form, can only be in one place at a time. Again, Doesn't comprehend. Doesn't comprehend. One God, three persons. But if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word is no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father, who is their father. If you're not saved, your father is the devil, the Bible says. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. And I remind you of the culture of that day theologically. No male, and I don't know how it fits for the female, but no male that's been circumcised as a Jew will ever go to hell. And Jesus said, how wrong that is. Oh, yes, you will. Because you're a descendant of Abraham fleshly, but you need to be as Abraham believed, and that was reckoned to him as righteousness. You need to be born again. So she was blessed by being Jewish. And imagine then, not only being a descendant of Abraham, but she, the one who just performed the miracle. Yes, I gave birth to him. He was nourished at my breast. I taught him as he was growing up. She was blessed. The angels, Gabriel, when he visited, we saw that in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Greetings to Mary. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Favored. Literally what that meant was, woman richly blessed. Listen carefully. Woman richly blessed. Seen as full, listen, full of grace. Grace not to give out to others, as is often taught wrongfully. But she was full of grace for God to use her. Now, wait a second. When I am born again, Paul writes in Romans about he has fenced me in. Some of you know my thoughts about being a parent in the right place of a playpen. And I often use that illustration. I am put in a playpen of God's grace as his child. I am begraced. Amazing grace that not only saved me, but that blesses me with so much. The playpen, I go this way, grace. I go that way, grace. I go this way, grace. That way, there's grace. Grace and more, where God richly gives me what I don't deserve. How rich I am. Yes, Mary, you were begraced. But I am too. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, Luke 1:42. When Mary came to visit her, probably to get away, she's getting so large and all of the comments, whatever. She goes to visit. When they meet, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She said this as her own baby leaped in her own womb when she was filled by the Holy Spirit, according to Luke chapter 1. So Mary, you were blessed. But I share with you here, we are blessed as well in what God sees that is good for us as he deals with us. Mary, a devout teenager with a godly man who protected her and became the father, I believe, of her other children. Privileged to house the incarnate Christ and blessed by God in a very special way. But there's more than Mary. Jesus objects. Look at verse 27. We're back in Luke 11. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, everyone else is hearing, it's loud. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, on the contrary. Jesus objects. It's true she is blessed, but there is more to it than that. More to it. And we see how Jesus again takes our common misconceptions to share something greater. Listen carefully. The Bible Knowledge Commentary shares this. I fully agree. Family relationships are not the most important things in life. Family relationships are not the most important things in life. And then I wrote in my notes with a big question mark, really? Is that true? I believe it is. But many Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ would disagree. Everything is my family. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my kids. Whatever. It's my family, my family, my family. We need to be careful. Family, marriage, children are gifts from God. But the gift is never to replace the giver. It's never to become our deity, our God. And some of us live. If anything happened to my wife or my kids, God, I'd never trust you again. Careful. To merely draw attention to the humanity of Jesus and this world is not appreciated by Jesus. Yes, my mother, biologically speaking, but there's so much more. I want you to know who I am and why I came, why I took on flesh, and why I was within Mary's womb. There's so much more. Jesus was always alert to the higher things of life and looking for ways to bring the conversation around to that. Always looking. Yes, I can enjoy this with you, and yes, we can do that and work on this together, but there's something more than that. And I wonder how often we do the same. Do we keep eternity in perspective as we live? Do we keep the eternal in perspective? Are we mindful of this one I'm working next to? Is he a Christian or not? Well, I've only been working with him for 3 days. I don't know. Oh, really? When are you going to get around to it? When are you going to get around to it? Again, souls without Jesus are lost. The bad words, damned for eternity. But they're not bad words. If we refuse to come to Jesus, that's what we're choosing for ourselves. And if I've got a heart because, God, you saved me, I want to share with you too. I want you to know Jesus loves you. And as I mentioned in men's fellowship yesterday, I'll get more specific than that. Several who have lived in my house with addictions, I shared very bluntly with them. You cannot turn to Jesus Christ just to please me. But I will love you and I will be there for you. And some of them I followed around from prison to prison and from halfway house to halfway house all over the counties. And one very seriously turned to Jesus Christ. And to my knowledge, another one is still running. But our actions are to be loving, whether you turn to Jesus or not. I still love you. I'm not going to pound you, but I will bring it up from time to time. Jesus objects. And so he clarifies and expands. It's not a total put down of what that woman said. We saw in Luke chapter 1, 42 and 48 that Luke already affirmed the blessings of Mary. John MacArthur puts it this way, the translation here. In verse 27, or verse 28, on the contrary, it's yes, but. Yes, it's true she's blessed, Mary. But there's more. There's more. Yes, but rather. But there's no room for any veneration of her either. The Hail Mary prayer, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. That is not biblical at all. Not at all. Blessed are those who, look at the words of Jesus here. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Back in chapter 8 of Luke, we've already touched on this a little bit here and about the family. Verses 19 to 21 of Luke, let me read it. His mother and brothers, I believe that's it, not cousins. His mother and brothers came to him. Jesus was in a room. They were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But Jesus answered and said to them, verse 21 of Luke 8, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's my family. What's he saying? What's he saying? He's sharing here again. There's so much more. So much more than flesh relationship. To hear the word. To have a soft heart that listens in for what God has to say. Blessed are those who hear and observe. Now you got the whole outline. Hear, speak, oh Lord, please, as I read your word, as I hear a sermon, as I sit and meditate, speak, oh Lord, to me. He's a personal God. The mere hearing in itself does not bring all the blessings, but the hearing is the door to blessing. Romans 10:17, I want to say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. Too often we hear in order to consider. Would you do me a favor? Well, let me hear what it is first, and I'll think about it. With God, that doesn't go far. Hear and observe. It was a family wedding, our daily bread. Brian was scheduled to be an usher at his brother's wedding. Not any of our Brians. Brian didn't show up. His sister, Jasmine. Jasmine was to read the scripture at the wedding. And she read 1 Corinthians 13. Most of you are familiar with the love chapter and what love does and what love doesn't do. After the wedding, her father asked her to deliver a birthday gift to her brother Brian, who had hurt the whole family by not showing up at the wedding. She said, I can't do it. No, not after what he did to us and to his brother's wedding. No. Before the evening was over, she had to change her mind. Here's what her thought process was. I can't stand and read scripture about love and not practice it. I can't stand and read scripture about, you name it, whatever scripture says, and not practice it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. The commentary here, it's easier to read and listen to God's word than to obey it. Easy to read and listen than to obey. God wants our full obedience. Our Lord God wants that. To discern what he has to say. J.I. Packer, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, a book he wrote that I read years ago that has helped me a lot. He brings out the word antinomy. Antinomy seems like contradiction. But somewhere out there, it comes together, though we can't see it. Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. He shared this. The only proof of past conversion is present convertedness. Mm-hmm. Wow, convertedness. Is that a word? He said it is. It works for me. The only proof of past conversion that I got born again, that I get saved, that I'm really a Christian, the only proof of that back then is a life today that shows it's changing. It's changing. It's changing. Not falling asleep, but changing, changing, changing as God speaks to me. Yeah. And that's where the blessings come. The blessings come. The blessings come. As God fills your heart with a peace and a joy. And maybe the tears are still here because it still hurts. The scenario that you're in, that you don't understand, that didn't work out the way you wanted to. It wasn't the dream you had. But as I surrender it, God, the blessings. There is one last point. Remember, we have the privilege of seeing more than that woman in the crowd who shouted out about Mary. We see more For Jesus has come, he has died for our sins, he has risen, and he offers himself to us in salvation. So that we should be able to say, as Paul writes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And hope is assurance. Christ in me, the assurance, the certainty of the glory to come. It's there for each one of us. And thus it is far better to be a child of God's by being born again than to have this family relationship with Jesus of flesh and blood and still be lost for eternity. Even for Mary herself. Even for Mary herself. I remind you, just because Mary gave birth to Jesus did not guarantee her salvation. She referred to as God my Savior. Augustine shared this. Mary was more blessed in accepting the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. Amen. More blessed in accepting the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. Let's expand it further. It's better to be alive today and have the Holy Spirit in our being than to be one of his disciples and walk with him and hear him in person teach us. Yes, yes. Jesus himself said, it's to your advantage that I leave you guys. But I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm leaving so that the Holy Spirit can come down and he'll be in you always, always, anywhere and everywhere. You're never, ever alone. He's there. J.C. Ryle puts it like this. We love a sensuous, tangible, material Christianity far better than one of faith. Far better than one of faith. But Christianity is walking by faith, not by sight. Not a faith that I conjure up, but a faith that God gives me that I have to act upon. And as I act upon living by faith, it grows stronger and stronger through the years of walking with him as God allows it. I give you testimony of how good he has been to me and living by faith and not always seeing clearly, but knowing he's promised and he's there. Where was I? Was downstairs. As I was getting ready for this morning, I started singing a song. I don't know where it came from, except from my past somewhere. But Jesus led me all the way, step by step along life's way. I can't remember. But I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down, Jesus led me all the way. That's the Christian life that he has for us as we reach out. Again, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Again, he wasn't one of the 12, but he had his own miracle of seeing the risen Christ. But he writes, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. We live by faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave his life for you. Yes, it was special to be his mother. Very special. Mary was blessed, but she too needed her Savior, her Savior. Blessings come from God as we learn to hear and then obey and follow through. We step out and trust. Jesus, my faith may be weak. Help me to see. I'm going to surrender it all and give myself to you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Two simple verses. We've seen it before and we'll see it again and again and again. It's to hear and obey. The hymn writer says, trust and obey. Lord, you know each one here. You know who we are. You know where we're at. You know what we think. You know what reality is. And I trust that the thinking is reality. That I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him. My eternal destiny. I've entrusted it to Jesus. And he's going to keep it for me until he takes me home. That's what your word says. That's what Christianity is. And help us to live out the reality of this Christianity. For those who may still be struggling, Father. I can't paint a picture for them. I can't make them. May they look to your word. May they read. May they call on you. You're the one who can bring them and will bring them. As they seek and search for you with all their heart, you've promised. And to you be the glory for that. This I pray too, in Jesus' name. Amen. We close, I trust, with a song that you can sing. Again, there were so many of those songs this morning.